flowing down your cheeks. And so I'm insulated from your pain. I'm insulated from your hate. And so as long as the wall is there, you've got a defense mechanism, meaning I can't see you, nor can I hear you or understand you, which means our relationship is incomplete, because I haven't sought to share with you and you haven't sought to legitimately share with me. And so as long as that wall is there, there will always be separation. And where there is separation, there is no peace. And where there is no peace, there can only be division and strife. And so we got to tear down those middle walls. But the question of the hour is, are you aware of the middle walls in your life? I'm talking about those little invisible barriers that's causing division and strife in your relationships, in your marriage, in your home, and especially in the church. Because my brothers and sisters, these little invisible barriers that we build up in our lives, they are destructive to the very purpose and the priority of the church. Remember, the text shows that the walls in the temple divided the circumcised from the uncircumcised, the Jews from the Gentiles. But what does this say to us this morning? My brothers and sisters, I believe it says to us that there is really a danger in compartmentalized Christianity. It's because the problem comes when those in one compartment try to intervene in the other compartment. And so that's why we have separate choirs, because we can't sing together. Separate auxiliaries and separate denominations, we can't work and serve together. We have separate Bible studies, we can't study God's word together. We got separate friends and separate cliques and separate clubs and separate organizations. But Christ didn't say, upon this club or upon this organization, I'll build my church. But I tell you what he did say. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so it is in the church that Christ is building. We are many members, different from one another, but we all make up one body, which is the church. And that's why the Bible declares one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And so there shouldn't be any schism in the body of Christ, meaning we should have the same.
It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've experienced today. Put your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this word today. Give us further clarity and understanding. Reveal for us, to us, this your word. Meet us where we are. Minister to us on this level. And then, God, let us be ever so careful to give you praise and glory and honor for the understanding and the power to practice the principles. We thank you in advance for what you shall do. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. I am so thankful to the Lord for this first Lord's Supper experience, and certainly we would be remiss if we didn't visit a word about Jesus Christ and that he has told us to do, and that was to remember him in his death. And certainly again, as we continue to go through the word and the word go through us, we get a deeper revelation and understanding of his word. Now, because I desire you to understand it more today, excuse me if we don't shout. But pay attention and get something to shout about. Because that, you know, the first one we just want to celebrate, and just looking forward to a hallelujah high time in terms of shouting and celebrating. But because God wants us to get a clear understanding of his word, and especially of what Jesus has done for us and paid for us, this is going to be a little different presentation of the truth, but it's going to be one that will help you to see further into the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:5 simply says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, when we go through this text, everything that seems to be relevant and personal, I want you to say, "He did it for me." When you go through this text, let the Spirit of God remind you afresh that he did it for you. Don't think about the person in front of you, behind you, on the side of you. Think about the fact that you are personally responsible for understanding that he paid this price for you. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
And when we think about Jesus Christ, there's so much that comes to play in thinking about this wonderful and rich and marvelous word before us, and how the Bible, especially the New Testament, paints the picture of him hanging on a tree. And as a matter of fact, the Old Testament said, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." And again, the word is clear about how Jesus Christ, and that's one of the things that you need to know, he fulfilled the law. He paid the penalty and price so that what in his switching places with you, we see him on the cross for us. But do we see the place of royalty, the place of privilege, the place of ascension that he's given to us? We are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now, while we are citizens of two worlds, we're only a resident of one. And too many of us are caught up in the fleshly residence of this world and don't know you've got some power and privileges as a citizen of the other world, of the heavenly realm. And because we don't understand a lot of these principles and don't understand this word, we live beneath our privilege and our power. And so when we begin to look at this word and understand, Jesus paid an awesome price to switch places with you. Now, he took what was meant for you, but have you taken what was meant for him? What sense does it make if he switches places with us and pays the penalty of our sins, the punishment of our sins, and we don't take the privilege of his sonship? You see, when we miss the fact that it was a juxtaposed position. It wasn't just a one-sided position, but a juxtaposed. He switched places. That means if I'm in his place, then he's in my place. And so too many of us simply see him as being in our place. This word, as Isaiah portrays it, is a word of generalization, because he's talking about whosoever will. But this morning, I want it to be a personalization, because I want you to see again, because right before we get to verse 5, verse 4 says, surely. Now, that's without fail, without doubt, without any kind of reservation. Surely he hath borne. What has he borne? Our griefs. Are you still grieving? And Jesus has already borne it. Look again. And carried our sorrows. Are you still sorrowing as one without hope? Are you still carrying your sorrows around when Jesus has already paid for and given you the power to let the sorrow go with him instead of remaining with you? Look again at the word. It says, yet we did esteem him, three things, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Well, then if we found that he was stricken, smitten, and afflicted, who was he done all of these things for? Well, look at the word verse says in verse 4, but he was wounded for, now where it says our, say my transgression. Listen again, he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. Make it personal. Understand, because this is done for you. Any of us are carrying burdens we don't need to carry, dealing with troubles we don't need to deal with, misunderstanding the power and privilege of having a juxtaposed position with Jesus Christ, being able to speak those things that be not as though they were, understanding that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. People don't understand that. Let me put it in simple terms. If you were a joint heir with Bill Gates, and you know he's one, just one of some of the richest men in the world, but wouldn't your life immediately change if you were a joint heir? Both now and in the future, your life would be forever changed because of what he possessed. All right. Now, if you could get excited about just money and stuff and things, how much more should you be excited about being joint heirs with Jesus Christ? See, because all the money in the world, Bill Gates can't buy healing. He can't buy deliverance. He came by being set free and made free. With all the money in the world, he came by peace and joy. Y'all not hearing me here. With all the money in the world, he cannot buy the favor of God. With all the money in the world, he does not buy the power to have dominion over demonic spirits. With all the money in the world, he cannot speak those things that be not as though they were. And they manifest themselves. With all the money in the world, he does not have the privileges that you and I have if he's not born again and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. See, there are some things that you, maybe you've not lived long enough to know it, but there are just some things money can't buy. I wish I had a witness that didn't have much money who say, I know what you're talking about, preacher. I wish I had some people who had some money and say, there are just some things money came by. Because there are realities in knowing who you are and whose you are for the purpose he has created you on planet Earth. A doctor, a surgeon, in fact, heard this text preach, and it so convicted his spirit that he went home and studied the text And he pointed out that there are five kinds of wounds that can be inflicted on the human body. Five kinds of wounds that can be inflicted upon the human body. And the discovery was that Jesus Christ bore them all. I hope you got a little pencil and paper to write this down. Because the word says he was wounded for our transgressions. The first wound was a contusion. A contusion. The Lord suffered this kind of wound when he was hit on the head with the reed and when he was punched in the face. He suffered a contusion. Now, you got to keep in mind how the different writers reveal different revelations or views of his crucifixion. And all of these views give to us these noted aggressions against Jesus Christ and these inflicted wounds upon his body. All of them are not found in one writer's record because God wanted us to see the various pictures from the various persons he revealed these truths to. And so the more we see and the more we understand about what Jesus went through for us, it will help us to be stronger Christians and more devoted Christians to the Lord who loved us enough to go through all of that. Now listen to this. If that doesn't get you, put the person who's dearest to your heart in your forefront vision. It could be your mother. It could be your father. It could be your sister. It could be your brother. It could be your child. It could be your husband, your wife, whomever that person may be. Put them. If Jesus doesn't do it for you now, just be real enough to say, Lord, what if this happened to my mother or to my child? Listen to what the word says. Now, this contusion happened by being hit on the head and punched in the face. He was wounded. But now keep this in mind as you think about it. He was wounded for what you did. Your mama was punched in the face and beat in the head for what you did. Your sister, your husband, your wife, your child was beat in the head, punched in the face for what they didn't deserve. The next one is a laceration. And a laceration was the scourge would produce this kind of wound because it was a vicious instrument like a cat of nine lives or tails, only with thongs were tipped with steel claws. In other words, it was a rope tied with different pieces of metal and about nine different little ropes tied to the end of that just dangled like fingers like this. And they had clawed ends on them. So when they would take the rope on the end of a stick and swing it at him, each hit will cause multiple lacerations. Think about it. Look at it. Just think if that had been one time. But the record said it was 40 minus one. So 39 lacerations were cut on his body. Just imagine that being swung at him and every cut he's cut and ripped in his back, in his chest. All of this for your sins and for my sins. Now we've gone from a contusion to a laceration, but it's still not through. Because when we look at this word, next that was a penetration. The crown of thorns would produce these wounds because when they took those thorns and they made a crown of them, the thorns, some say, were sometime 4 to 5 inches long. It wasn't no little bitty thorn from a rose. These thorns were almost as long as fingers, made into a crown, pushed on his head, and then pushed into his skull. And all of the thorns produced streams of blood, as in penetrating his skin again and his scalp and producing that blood. All because of your sins and mine. Could you imagine your loved one having to be in this position, not because they did wrong, but because they loved you enough They loved you enough to stand in your place and handle what you could not handle. But not only is there a contusion, a laceration, and a penetration, but then there was a perforation. And the perforation was the nails, of course, perforating and piercing in through his hands and his feet. And that's how they perforated it, so that it was able to hold him to the cross. Now look at this. Pay attention to this. If we ever got a splinter in our hand, did that hurt? I remember being a child and many times getting a splinter, and I'd go and mama would take a needle and she'd put it on the fire. Now, she wasn't no doctor. But, amen, it was to sterilize the needle. And she'd take some alcohol or something and wipe it off and rub it on my finger. And she'd take that needle and she'd go underneath that splinter. And sometime, if the digging was too painful, she would go in from the opposite side to push it out from the way. Mama's right there. Huh? Where's she at? Huh? I know she remembered. If she don't, I still remember the pains. And listen, as much as it hurted for her to dig it out, the moment it came out was an immediate release and a relief, knowing that that would not be a painful situation again. But now if a splinter hurt, can you imagine what driving a nail, some call it a stake. If you ever been by a train track and you see those big spikes that they drove in the tracks to hold the tracks down, it was spikes like that that they perforated through his wrist and his hand to hold him to a cross. All because of your sins and my sins. He was wounded. Listen to this, because I need to stay right there with he was wounded. Because if you don't understand and just say he was wounded and not know how he was wounded, then the wound won't make much of a difference to you. Because you weren't there, the songwriter said, when they crucified my Lord. And so when you begin to recognize that, you'll discover that there's one more, and it is an incision. Not only was there contusion, and not only was there laceration, not only was there a penetration and a perforation, but lastly, there was an incision. And what made the incision? It was the spear. It was the cutting into his side, where the record is blood and water ran down. The incision, the cut into his side. My brothers and sisters, that was the end of what Jesus Christ himself endured for you. And he did it because he loved you, and he did it because of your sins. And medical evidence was proven that Jesus was dead when the incision was made and the blood and the water came down. Some doubted that he was dead when he shouted up, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And the record is he gave up the ghost, but some might have thought that he was not truly dead. And so a soldier around the cross inflicted the last painful part of his wound. And that was, again, the estimation of what had happened in his woundedness. So my brothers, my sisters, know this, that he was wounded for you and for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the music plays softly, gracious God, our Father, how thankful we are for Jesus. How thankful we are for Jesus. How thankful we are for Jesus. that what he did for us, we couldn't do for ourselves. The record is, by his stripes, we are healed. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what we go through. The record is, we are healed. And we say thank you. For his wounds paid for and provided our healing. And we call it done. And it's counted as done. Already, while we wait on the manifestation, it's already done. And we say thank you. We thank you that his blood paid for our redemption. And because we are redeemed, we can say so. We can shout the glory that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Our lives have been transformed. Our lives have been changed. Our lives have been rearranged. And for that, we say thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you're working on our minds, renewing our minds daily. We thank you that you're working on our hearts, creating a clean heart in us. We thank you that you're working on all of us, every part of us, so that we resemble you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And oh God, I give you praise this day for how you're going to walk through this place in the hearts and minds of your people, reminding them afresh that what you did for us individually and all of us collectively, that we have what you say we have. We are what you say we are. We can do what you said we can do, because he was wounded for our transgressions. Oh God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Amen. And amen. Give the Lord praise in the house. I said, give the Lord praise in the house. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy. The devil cannot take glory from it. The devil cannot take attention from it. He is worthy to be praised. To God be all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. The overflow is filled. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. God bless you in the overflow. We have officers and members. Altar call workers over in the overflow who will gladly lead you to the sanctuary. God bless you. God bless you.
Glory. Yeah, yeah.
This is your time. This is your time. Is there another today who will come? Who will say thank you to the Lord Jesus for what you've done for me? How you were wounded for me, for my transgressions. If he's calling you, God bless you. God bless you. No matter what's going on, he'll make it.
But together stay strong.
Is there another? Is there another? This is your time. Don't let the enemy steal your focus. This word was so rich that the devil didn't want you to be made aware and alert of what Jesus suffered for you. God bless you, brother. Is there another? Is there another? Is there another? You need to be encouraged this morning.
Sing it on.